Well, this afternoon, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 23, we are in the last part of verse number 3 of Psalm 23, and the message is entitled, He Leadeth Me. And Psalm 23, verse 3, the last part reads, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And of course, to me, this kind of goes along with what we talked about this morning in the message, you know, about walking in righteousness and walking by faith and walking in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh. And so this kind of really goes along with the same basic theme. But just as a shepherd is responsible to lead his sheep in the right way, so the Lord is obligated to faithfully lead his people in the right path. The shepherd does so to protect his reputation, and the Lord does so because his name and character is on the line. Sheep are definitely creatures of habit. If they're left to themselves, they'll follow the same trails until they become ruts, and they will graze the same pasture until there's nothing left to graze. And they will pollute the ground until they become infested themselves with parasites and disease. This is so much like human beings. We tend to move off of the land and congregate in cities. We tax a small area with our garbage and sewage. Then we catch diseases from others and pass it on. We find ourselves living in concrete jungles, breathing polluted air, and eating processed foods. In reality, we would be better off living on the land, eating directly from the land and breathing fresher air. And 75 years ago, that's the way it was in Singapore. But things have changed. And this is where the guidance of the shepherd becomes so important. Through wise management, the sheep can have good pasture every day, and the fields can continue to flourish, and the shepherd is able to prosper if things are done properly. If sheep are left to themselves, their trails become eroded gullies. The grass is gnawed right into the roots and killed, and the shepherd will suffer financial setbacks. So it's imperative that the sheep have proper care and guidance. And it's also right for us to have proper guidance and care too. And part of this guidance is because of the church, but part of this guidance is guidance that you have, that you need to have daily maintenance in your own life. And you need to have a system of Bible study personally. You need to pray personally. You need to memorize God's Word personally. You need to be faithful in your church attendance so that the church can do its part. But there's so many things that the individual is responsible for ultimately. And parents are responsible to make sure that their children are in Sunday school and in the youth meetings and so forth. There's so much that needs to be done. And, we're sheep. We are sheep. I mean, God refers to us as sheep. And here we had a shepherd that was referring to himself as a sheep. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. So if we relate properly to the Lord, we will have proper guidance and proper food, and all things will be taken care of. But we have to allow him to lead us. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Now, sometimes there are sheep who wander from following the shepherd's guidance. They end up eating poor food and drinking polluted water. The shepherd is always on the lookout, having to bring back those who wander away. And that's the reason the shepherd has the long staff with the crook on the end of it. Sometimes sheep, they don't have very good eyesight, and they're smelling, they don't have a good sense of smell either. And so they can get lost. They can wander off and get lost. And one of the hymns in the hymnal is the 99 are safe in the fold, but there's one out on the fields away you know. And so the shepherd has to go and find that one. We tend to be stubborn, just like sheep. Isaiah said it this way. Now listen to what Isaiah said. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him, referring to Christ actually, the iniquity of us all. So David the sheep was saying that the Lord led him in the paths of righteousness. And God wants us to walk in paths of righteousness, but we have to be willing to follow his lead. We have to follow him. Now, I don't know if any of you, anybody here, raise your hand if you've had anything to do with sheep. Anybody? Okay, so I'm talking about something that you're not unfamiliar with. But I have been around sheep, and I've been around goats, and I've been around other animals. And listen, they will seemingly follow each other as though stupid and blind. In other words, one will start down a little trail or a gully, and you know, and he'll start, and another one get right in behind him, and they'll take off and go down across the field. And I've witnessed this. I've seen it in you know. And then because they're hungry, they're going to gnaw at any little bush or any little thing as they're nearby, and so they don't get fed well. And so the shepherd is the one that makes sure they go to the place that's fresh and ready for them and has a good water supply close by so that they can have water too. So in that verse there, all we like sheep have gone astray and we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the good shepherd is the one. And see, the good shepherd, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, you see. So really, Christ knows the way. The good shepherd knows the way, and so we need to really follow him. And we've all witnessed men and women that have, tried to find their way by themselves in the dark and not had the light of the gospel and not followed Jesus Christ. But what happens is, when you follow the same habits that were there before, if you do the same thing other people are doing that don't know the Lord, then you're going to end up at a dead end just like they have, you see. And these same habits of life bring ruin and disease and death in the lives of others. And we want to break that cycle. We want to make sure that we go the right way. And even after we're saved, if we're not careful, we'll still walk in the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. And we'll walk by sight instead of walking by faith. And so when I go my own way, so to speak, I'm doing what I think I want to do. We think we want to do it. The advertisement that we see, all new, the best, lifetime warranty, and nothing's a lifetime warranty, believe me, not in the world that I live in. We have some cookware, lifetime warranty. I don't know if they used to send us handles if the handle got bad. If we send an old handle in, they'd send us a new one back out to put on the pot. I don't know if they'd do that anymore. I mean, we've had those pots over 50 years. The company may not even be in existence now. It was called Lifetime Cookware. And it's cooked a lifetime for us, okay? But I don't know how many other lifetimes it would cook for. But what I'm trying to get to you, to get you to realize is that a lot of times people go their own way and they don't see the red flags of warning, you see. In other words, maybe they have a physical problem, but they don't realize what's causing the physical problem. Oh, they smoke. Oh, I see. And they took too many drugs. Uh-oh, look out now. And they don't eat right. We've got to realize in Proverbs 14:12, the Bible says, a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And a lot of things that we practice in this life are things that really are not for our real lifehood. I mean, you know, they really don't benefit us, you see. A lot of times, something so good that's on the table that we want a second helping, but we really don't need the second helping. Hello? Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Okay. What I'm trying to say is, there's a lot of things that we deal with in life, and if we don't deal with them properly, we don't really have a blessed life. We cause ourselves our own demise. And but if we walk in the Spirit, and we walk by faith, and we do what the Scriptures say, and we walk in righteousness, at least we should have the most blessed life that we can ever have, because we're doing what God would have us to do. You understand me? But a lot of times we don't do that. Jesus contrasted this verse about what seemeth right unto a man. And in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I want to live a good, healthy life in this life. But I also want to be assured that I'm going to have a good, healthy life in the life to come, because we are eternal creatures. You understand? So I think that, you know, you want to listen to, you want to follow the right shepherd, you see. And you may say, I go to church and I give an offering and I say my prayers. But is Jesus Christ your shepherd? Is He your Savior shepherd? Have you been born again? Are you a Christian? Or are you just practicing Christian activities thinking that that's going to do it, you see? If you haven't trusted in Christ, the Lord Jesus, you know, He can't lead you in the paths of righteousness, because you haven't trusted in the righteousness that He can give you. You need to be born again. And there's something about our depraved nature that we need to keep in mind. Paul referred to it as the flesh, and its outworkings as the carnal mind. In Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." And we have Christians that are trying to please God by the flesh. But God doesn't get pleasure from us through the flesh. He gets pleasure from us through the Spirit. Okay? And if we're going to walk in the paths of righteousness, then we'll have to say yes to Jesus Christ and no to our depraved nature. We need to resist our depraved nature. Even though it's been crucified when we trusted Christ, it will still try to be in charge of things. You see, the stubborn, self-willed sheep that persist in following the same old path and grazing the same polluted ground will usually end up as a bag of bones, because it's not getting proper nourishment. And if a sheep graze on the same pasture land too long, their droppings end up causing infection in them. In other words, they get diseases from being there. And so they need to change their pastures. And that's what the shepherd does. He makes sure. You see, people need to understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. But some people don't come to church all the services. And some people don't study the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. So they're trying to live their Christian life on just part of the truth. And the Bible has all the truth, but you have to study and know all the Bible to really understand God's truth totally. And our world is full of people that have broken bodies and ruined lives, broken homes, broken hearts, derelict lives, and twisted personalities. And it reminds us every day that men and women have gone their own way. Now listen to me. If you don't go God's way, You're gonna pay for it one day. You're gonna regret it one day. You need to do things the right way. You need to walk in righteousness. And we live in a sick society. Honestly, it's sick. It's sick. You see, man thinks he can fix things himself. And yet we're really not capable of fixing things ourselves. Everything we fix breaks down one time or another. Just the other day, they put up a walk corridor across a highway at a university in the United States in Florida. And they had just put it up there. And they were allowing cars to run underneath it. And all of a sudden, it collapsed. And it was brand new. Brand new. Who made it? Man made it. Why's your car break down? Because man made it. Why do you have to paint the house? Because man made it. Why do you have to get new clothes? Because man made it. When God makes it, it lasts. Okay? It's everlasting life. Do you understand what I'm talking about today? He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Are we willing to really walk in the path of righteousness? If we do, we will be blessed for it. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" How are we going to be successful living in this life? The only way we're going to really be successful is to link up with Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to guide us so that we can get through life and be blessed in a great way while we're doing it. That's the only way we're going to do it. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. The Bible's Jesus, the Good Shepherd, said in Mark 8:34, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself." And when we deny self, that means we deny the old nature to rule in our lives, "and take up his cross and follow me." And he must lead, and if he's leading, then we must follow. We feel sometimes that we know the way, and we can do it on our own. But I'll guarantee you, you'll do it much better if you link up with the Lord. If you let him be in the yoke, you see, and carry the load. And we have to follow the righteous shepherd. Our text reminds us of the fact that one of the names of the Lord Jesus is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means the Lord is righteous. It appears first in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." And I believe that he in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will fulfill this prophecy one day in his second advent to rule in the millennial kingdom of the future. The history that surrounds the giving of this prophecy that's found in Jeremiah 22 is talking about Josiah's sons who reigned in ungodliness and corrupted the kingdom. Jeremiah pronounced God's judgment. Then in Jeremiah 23:5, he said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." But the difference will be God's righteousness is contrasted with man's unrighteousness. In Isaiah 64, verse number 6, the Bible says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." 500 years ago, our word righteousness was written right-wise, and it meant one who is as he ought to be. When Adam came from the hand of God, he was as he ought to be. And then There was no sin in him. Adam and Eve were sinless at first in the garden. But the moment he chose to go his own way by partaking of the fruit, he sinned and was no longer what he should have been. He spoiled himself and all of his posterity. When Adam sinned, we sinned. And we're born sinners. We have a depraved nature from birth. Okay? In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," that was Adam, "and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And that's talking about our nature. And if we have that nature, then it's very easy for us to sin. Why? Because we have a bent to sin. Children, you have to teach them to do right. Why? Because they have a bent to do wrong. You tell them to do one thing, and if you don't watch it, they're going to do just the opposite. Now, I'm sure some of you have had children that haven't done that. I know that. I'm sure of it. But you have to prove it to me, because I had children too. Okay? And I still tell my children what they ought to do, even though they disagree with me on a few things. Okay? But they're going to find out that Dad was right. Okay? Dad was really right. They hate to admit it, though. Okay. Therefore, in order for us to become right wise, or as we ought to be, we must have God's righteousness, which is a gift to us, and it comes through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I really thank the Lord that spiritually the Lord is our righteousness has already come. I'm so glad I'm saved, honestly. I mean, if I wasn't saved, where in the world would I be in this world? I might not even be alive now. You see, if I was following my own way and being involved in things that the people without Christ are involved in. So it's really important that you trust Christ and then follow His way. Do what He says. He knows best, you see. And it's sad to say that there are many Christians who are not right wise in the way they follow the Lord. Remember Peter, at one time he had followed afar off. And what happened? Then he denied Christ three times. And then he went out and wept bitterly about it. But it was already done. If we do it right the first time, and we stay there, then we don't allow that fallen nature to get us into trouble. Some Christians feel the price is too great to pay. Actually, I believe that if you want the abundant life, the cost is too small. He's not asking that much. Seriously, He's not asking that much. Just walk in righteousness. With the help of the Word of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of your Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. That's all He's asking. And He says, if you do that, I'll bless you. Now, how do you follow the right shepherd? One thing, loving Jesus first, others second, and self last will help a lot. Love is selflessness, as contrasted with selfishness. If you realize that you're not the center of the universe, that goes a long way. Some people say, well, I'm it. Look at me, you know. No, it's not you, it's Him. If we lift up the Lord and let Him shine, you see, ultimately we shine. You understand me? We end up shining too. Jesus was selfless in that He laid down His life for us. And this is one path that many Christians need to begin following. Once a person discovers the delight of doing something for others and for God, he has started to be being led in one of God's green pastures and walked in righteousness. And listen, once you start doing that kind of thing, you say, hey, man, I haven't been living. Now I'm starting to live. Living a life of separation from the world is very important. We desire to be accepted by the world. The world's never going to accept us. The world is never going to accept us. You see, but just as Jesus was a man of sorrows and experienced grief, so may we. Instead of adding to the sorrows of society, we may be called upon to bear some of the burdens and share some of the suffering. That's maybe what is needed. If Christians would be more self-sacrificing and more, with agape love, it would be a big difference. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." We have to be careful about our association with the unsaved. Now, I didn't say we couldn't associate with them, but we just have to be careful. For what fellowship with righteousness hath righteousness with unrighteousness, according to this passage? And what communion hath light with darkness? You see, we all live in the world. A dark world in reality. We all live in the world. But we should be a light to those that are walking in the darkness. You see. And it says here in Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We have to live in the world, but we do not have to live like everyone else in the world. Okay? Are you ready to do this? If you will follow the Lord in this path, it will lead you into some of God's green pastures. Okay? And His blessings will be upon you. And then denying the depraved nature a place in your life. I remember years ago, I was in Bible college, and my family, all of them, went to church and served the Lord and all. And one day, we were getting ready for church, and my dad, at that time, still had the habit of smoking. And he'd helped in the church and stuff, and I just made a comment about, you know, Dad, you need to get rid of that smoking. It's not good for you. And he said, "Well, this is one of the only things I do I shouldn't do." And he was upset with me, so I just backed off, Well, one day, between Sunday school and church, he went out of the church and went behind the building to have a smoke. And while he was back there, two little boys that knew him come running around the building. They were playing catch, going right and running around the building. And they probably didn't even notice that he was there. But when they came into his view and he was out there and he was smoking, the Holy Spirit, boom, and hit him. And he said, "Right then I knew right then if I was going to be a testimony to them boys, I was going to give up my smoking." Now, I don't know what's plaguing you, but if you've got something that you ought to give up and walk in the path of righteousness, do it. Do it. That's all I'm saying to you. And I'm not perfect by any means. I'm not perfect. All I'm trying to do is get you to realize things can be better. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of God, of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." John 12:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You see, if we'll die to self, if we'll die to the old nature, if we, you know, sometimes we have a habit and we think, well, I don't want to give up this habit. I don't want to do that. But if you're willing to do it, God will bless you for doing the right thing. Why? Because He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And then we need to be content with what God has given to us. This means I accept life and its circumstances as God has given them with an attitude of gratitude. That way we won't be looking for someone to blame for our personal misfortunes. Some people, they want to find somebody to blame for everything that's going wrong in their life. And the big problem is self is the big problem. And if you get self in its right place, if you crucify self and live for Christ, you're not worried about all of these different things. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." If we just take advantage of the promises that God has given us in His Word, you see, walking in righteousness is a great thing. Paul told Timothy, "Godliness with contentment is great gain," in 1 Timothy 6:6. So if you really believe that your affairs are in the hands in God's hands, then everything, whether joyful or tragic, is part of God's plan. Now, not everybody, it's not going to be all fun. Life is not built that way. There are some disappointments. There may be some regrets. But the thing is, if we seek to walk in His path and under His leadership, then we end up in a much better place. We have to be willing to do the will of God. And many Christians don't want to do that. Christians, they say, "Well, you know, I don't mind being a member of the church, but don't ask me to do anything." What's wrong with you? Why wouldn't you want to do something? If Jesus was that way, none of us would be saved. You know, there's a chorus to a song that says, "I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain, or plain, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be." Wow. We sing some hymns. If we listen to the songs that we're singing, we may be singing a lie in our personal life. We may be saying words we're not really doing, that something we're not really committed to. And that's not good. You see, a sheep who responds to the shepherd with these values in place will be a pleasure to the shepherd and the other sheep. A Christian who will be obedient to the Word of God will delight in the shepherd and be a blessing to others. That's the way it goes. You might say, "Well, what kind of life, you know, isn't that kind of life demanding?" Now, wait a minute. I mean, you know, if I say I'll do something in the ministry of the church, then I won't have any time for myself. Now, wait a minute. What are you going to do with Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30? Now, listen to what the Bible says. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." God's not going to force you to do something. But He would love for you to be involved. "And ye shall find rest." Now notice what He promises. "Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do we believe the Lord? Do we believe Jesus, our shepherd? Are we willing to say, "He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake"? You know, there's a song in the hymnal. He leadeth me. And we sing it. Do you realize what you're singing? We sing that song. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, still 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. What a great hymn. What a great hymn. We sing it, but do we believe it? Do we practice it? Are we doing what we want our shepherd to really do? Are we letting Him lead us? Are we really letting Him lead us? Psalm 23 is a very precious psalm. And sometimes we have to take a precious psalm and break it down just a little bit for us to understand the great truths that are wrapped up in the phrases of the psalm. Is He really leading you? Are you one of those Christians that's pulling against the harness? The leash, you know, you're holding back, you're running ahead, or are you one of them that is willfully walking in step with the Lord Jesus and being led in paths of righteousness?